This is an iHeart podcast.
Let's talk about the DOJ, how important it is. And I know you know it's important. I'm not going to sit here and insult your intelligence, but let's figure something out here. Why don't government people go to prison? Because that we have to have that. You know, I'm hot on this. I always have been. I always will be. The only way to structure a society is by taking people who have power, government power, and holding them the most accountable. The deepest, darkest prisons, the worst possible punishment in any society should not be reserved for murderers. Yeah, I'm fine. Do whatever you want with the murderers. It should be for government people who take their power and abuse the people with it. The crime is so severe, it can destroy nations. And now, I bet you nothing I just said blew you away. You agree. These government people have to go to prison. And I've said many times before, and I mean this, you will know our country is getting back on track when you start seeing government people in a significant number going to prison. When you have a corrupt criminal gangster government, the corrupt gangsters in the government have to be sent to prison. I'm not talking about one little patsy here, a little slap on the wrist there. Go to prison. Okay, so we all agree. I agree, you agree. Why hasn't it happened? That's the question. Why hasn't it happened? Well, the answer is actually quite simple. The DOJ, the Department of Justice. If we will do our little hypothetical 100-person village where we all live, and it's one nation, it's our tribe, and there's one hut where you have to report crimes. And when you report crimes to that hut, the people who work in that hut, then they will decide whether or not the crimes are prosecuted. Government crimes, regular crimes, you go to the same hut every single time. Well, if every time you bring a crime into that hut that was committed by a government person, they just decide not to prosecute it, what kind of tribe do you have? How long is your tribe going to exist? That's exactly where we are in the country. America's Department of Justice exists and has existed under Democrat presidents and Republican presidents as the protection agency for the criminals in the government. That must change. We can't have any more talk of, well, this is not gonna be a tit for tat. We can't have any of that. That stuff has to be set aside. The criminals in the government must go to prison. Otherwise, it gets dark here in the future. And I know we're all excited. I'm excited, too, about Donald Trump's presidency. It can get really, really dark. And look, in parts of the world that are civilized, it's already getting really, really dark. In the UK, they're throwing people in prison for social media posts.
The offense of incitement to racial hatred involves publishing or distributing material which is insulting or abusive, which is intended to or likely to start racial hatred. So if you retweet that, then you're republishing that, and then potentially you're committing that offence. And we do have dedicated police officers who are scouring social media. Their job is to look for this material and then follow up with identification arrests and so forth. So it's a really, really serious. People might think they're not doing anything harmful. They are, and the consequences will be visited upon them.
That's not some third world dump. That's not something that happened 100 years ago. Right now, our ally, our friend, free England, has fallen already. You remember our neighbors to the north. You remember what happened to Pastor Arthur. The cops showed up in his church to get him.
Out! Out! Out of this property, you Nazis! Out! Out! Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out! You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communist, fascist. Don't you dare coming back here.
It's exactly what it is. And our DOJ here has been just as bad, if not worse. Joe Biden took over the presidency, put Merrick Garland in charge of the DOJ. The attorney general in the country is the top law enforcement officer in the nation. And the Democrats took it over and promptly decided to paint Republicans as white supremacists and then use the DOJ to attack them.
The FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
And of course, Christopher Wray, his little lapdog, was more than happy to oblige in going after Trump supporters. In fact, he bragged about it.
Let me ask you about January 6th. Are you still pursuing January 6th cases?
We have any number of January 6th cases underway.
Former President Trump has referred to those who have been in prison or are facing trial as hostages. Do you see those individuals who took part in the January 6th riots as hostages?
I see the defendants in the January 6th cases as criminal defendants who are being charged with federal crimes and are in front of independent courts as part of our legal system.
Yeah. In very independent courts, trying all those poor saps in the communist Washington, D.C., with communist judges, communist everything there. Yeah, very, very independent. What's happened in this country the last 4 years is not something we can forget and forgive about just because Trump won the election and things are about to change. No, 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 no. People must be held to account for the crimes that were committed under the presidency of Joe Biden. Politicians, DOJ people, FBI people, bureaucrats, they must be held to account criminally. And look, so far, I'm encouraged by what I hear from Kash Patel.
The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big. And the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops.
Will this happen? Well, I don't know. Will Pam Bondi fix things at the DOJ, arrest government people? I don't know. But it must happen, or we can't save ourselves. We got to fix that DOJ hut, all right? We'll ask Mike Davis about this next. Hang on.
I think they will rue the day that they put Pam Bondi in as Attorney General and Kash Patel as Director of the FBI. They have essentially signaled the end of independent federal law enforcement. Over the next 4 years, that may end up in the targeting of Democrats, targeting of media that's friendly to Democrats. But once law enforcement isn't independent, it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle. And so someday down the line, that could hurt Republicans when there's a Democrat who decides to use the federal law enforcement agencies to target Republicans. None of us should want that.
Yeah, I'm not going to make all the obvious jokes and comments. That's happening now, and the hypocrisy. I'm not going to do that. More than anything, I'm concerned about the hair dye. Fellas, don't do it. Everyone can tell. I don't care how much you spend on it. Everyone can tell, and it never looks right. Joining me now, Mike Davis, founder of the Article 3 Project. Okay, Mike, what is Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, what are they going to be able to do as far as holding government people accountable? I'm only interested in that now. I don't even want to hear about the cartels. I want to know what government people are going to prison.
That's a very good question, because we saw the Obama Justice Department, the Biden Justice Department, and their intel agencies politicized and weaponized against their political enemies. President Trump, his top aides, his allies, his supporters, going all the way back to Crossfire Hurricane. It continued with the unprecedented Republic-ending lawfare and election interference for the last 3 years, four indictments, the civil fraud lawsuit for non-fraud. They tried to bankrupt Trump. They tried to take off his head. They tried to throw him in prison for life. They tried to throw him off the ballot. Pam Bondi and Kash Patel are President Trump's all-star picks for Attorney General and FBI Director to go clean out that rat's nest of the Obama and then Biden Justice Department. They're going to bring much needed transparency, accountability, and justice.
Okay. I like the sounds of it. How much work do they have to do? You know, Kash Patel takes over as director of the FBI. It's a very sharp individual, big fan. I know the rod is deep, though. Pam Bondi, honestly, the DOJ is probably where all of our problems lie. That's been the wall protecting government people from going to prison. Is it possible that we're going to actually see that? I know their intentions are good. I'm already on board. What can they actually do?
They are 100% going to go in and clean out the rat's nest of the Obama and then Biden Justice Department. You're going to see actions on day one, on January 20th. And then when they get confirmed, when Pam Bondi gets confirmed as Attorney General, when Todd Blanche gets confirmed as the Deputy Attorney General, when Kash Patel gets confirmed as the FBI Director, you're gonna see heads roll. You're gonna see these career officials in these senior posts at Main Justice and at the FBI get reassigned. They're going to lose their jobs. So they better get used to changing diapers on the southern border, because that's what they're gonna be doing until they get chased out of the Justice Department, including the FBI.
Gosh, that's hilarious. That'd be wonderful to see. Okay, Merrick Garland in particular. Mike, I know I don't have to get you rolled up to go after Merrick Garland, but he is, what he's done with his position as Attorney General, it's criminal, it's egregious. What are the worst things in your mind he's done?
Merrick Garland has been a disgrace. And thank God my former boss, Chuck Grassley, on the Senate Judiciary Committee blocked Merrick Garland's elevation to the Supreme Court and put my other boss, Neil Gorsuch, on the Supreme Court, because Merrick Garland has been a disaster for our country when he ran this unprecedented Republic-ending lawfare and election interference against President Trump. His top aides like Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro, who went to prison for asserting constitutional executive privilege going back 250 years to George Washington. Merrick Garland targeted Trump supporters on January 6th and politically persecuted them. Yes, persecuted them, according to the Supreme Court's Fisher decision last June. Merrick Garland sicked the FBI after parents outraged by gender chaos in schools and the resulting rapes in high school bathrooms. Merrick Garland went after pro-life Christians, including and putting a 75-year-old Christian in prison for praying at an abortion clinic, while Merrick Garland gave amnesty to BLM, Antifa, Hamas, Joe Biden, every scumbag Biden who was on what seems like every corrupt foreign payroll around the world. There must be accountability for what Merrick Garland and his team have done. They have taken our country to the brink, and there has to be accountability. There has to be justice.
Pam Bondi, who is she? Most people are not familiar with Pam Bondi. What's her background?
Pam Bondi is a fantastic choice by President Trump to serve as the Attorney General. She was the Attorney General for the state of Florida for 8 years, which is a big office. She does not need this job as Attorney General. She did not seek this job as Attorney General. President Trump recruited her for this job. She's bold, she's fearless, she's smart, she's effective. She's the perfect choice by President Trump to go clean out the rat's nest of the Obama and then Biden Justice Department.
DNI isn't part of the DOJ, but just like CIA, it does work with the DOJ. All, that whole thing rhymed, and I didn't mean to do that. Tell me about Tulsi Gabbard. What's she going to be able to do?
You know, what's great about Tulsi Gabbard is she is a former Democrat who saw the light, who saw that our intel agencies and law enforcement have been corrupted. They've become partisan. They've been politicized and weaponized against political enemies. Tulsi has a strong military background. She has insider experience from her time working in the House of Representatives, but she has an outsider attitude. She's the perfect choice to go over to DNI and clean out that rat's nest, just like the Justice Department.
What does DNI do, Mike? A lot of people just aren't familiar with it. They know CIA, they know FBI, but DNI is one of those things, the normies, goes right by them.
Look, I think that I used to work for President George W. Bush, but I think he made a big mistake by creating DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, along with DHS, the Department of Homeland Security. It's just more government bureaucracy. It's more deep state, which are these unelected, largely unaccountable career bureaucrats who work in these intel agencies and in federal law enforcement, who think it's their job to make these policy decisions instead of the duly elected president of the United States. And DNI is just an extra unnecessary layer that's supposed to coordinate the intel agencies, and it just creates a morass with the intel agencies, a political dumpster fire called DNI.
Talk to me about these Matthew Graves types. What can be done? What's realistic? I know Matthew Graves is resigning. He's gone. But are they off scot-free now? Matthew Graves has done some really, really evil things with his position of power. What is legal? What can be done to him?
It is a federal civil rights felony, a very serious federal crime to politicize and weaponize intel agencies and law enforcement against your political enemies for non-crimes. It's 18 U.S.C. Section 241, conspiracy against rights, a very serious federal civil rights felony. And I would say to Jack Smith and his deputy goon, Jay Bratt, and Matthew Graves, the outgoing D.C. U.S. attorney, and these January 6th prosecutors and agents and these people who ran this unprecedented Republican-ending lawfare against President Trump, his top aides like Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro, his supporters on January 6th, parents and Christians, I would say to these guys, lawyer up, because nobody is above the law, and you could be on the receiving end of subpoenas when the Trump 47 Justice Department opens the federal criminal probe under 18 U.S.C. Section 241. And I hope that grand jury, that special grand jury, is impaneled down in Fort Pierce, Florida, the same courthouse where Jack Smith and Jay Bratt tried to throw President Trump in prison for the rest of his life under the Espionage Act for presidential records the former president was allowed to have in the office of former president under the Presidential Records Act.
Finally, Supreme Court. What are we anticipating for Donald Trump being able to do there? Is people retiring? What are we looking at?
Look, President Trump's biggest and most consequential accomplishment of his first term was the transformation of the left of center court to the Clarence Thomas Court, along with appointing a near record number of lower federal court judges. We have the first constitutionalist majority on the Supreme Court and the lower federal courts in 90 years. And President Trump in his second term is going to pick even more bold and fearless justices and judges than he did the first time. So it's going to be good. We're going to restore the separation of powers among the federal branches, and we're going to return federal power back to the states and the people where it belongs.
Mike, appreciate it as always, my friend. All right, we'll be back. All right, I know we're talking about the DOJ and the FBI, and so obviously we're not going to bring up the CIA. I mean, surely they're not linked up with the DOJ, because that would be weird, right, if the Foreign Intelligence Agency was linked up with the DOJ. Anyway, let's talk to Kevin about that. Joining me now, Kevin Shipp, author of a book that freaked me out, Twilight of the Shadow Government. Okay, Kevin, DOJ and CIA, they don't work together, right?
Yeah, don't we wish. I've just published a presentation on this. The DOJ works closely with the CIA, especially in silencing whistleblowers. And in my particular case, the DOJ worked with the CIA to try to blackmail us into taking a lower settlement agreement. And if we didn't, they would invoke the state secrets privilege. So the CIA works through the DOJ to silence whistleblowers using primarily the state secrets privilege or threats of arrest, which happened to Tucker Carlson and others. So they work hand in hand. And sadly, the DOJ FBI FinCEN office, which is now demanding all of our bank information, has a CIA desk in it. So they are connected at the hip.
Okay, Kevin, before we continue along those lines, what did you do for the CIA? Staple papers or what?
I was a protective agent on the CIA director, William Casey's protective detail up through Iran-Contra and eventually his death. I was a team leader for protecting defectors that came over to the agency. I was an assistant team leader on a counter-assault team. They want me to call it an anti-terrorism assault team. We went over to neutralize a terrorist group that had been killing Americans. I was in the counter-espionage unit, special investigations unit, searching for a mole inside the CIA, which we did find, and turned out it to be Robert Hansen. And I've had several other positions, the counter-terrorism center, where I was a special operations officer conducting human collection overseas, specifically in terrorist areas. So I had several different positions during my career there.
Now, back to what you were talking about, this protecting of secrets. What is this, a law? Because it doesn't sound very freedom.
No, it is an absolute violation of the U.S. Constitution. George Tenet, the director of the CIA, used the state secrets privilege 42 times to silence cases against the CIA. And the state secrets privilege, which they used to work with the DOJ, was actually created from one that was used by the King of England. One of the reasons that the founding fathers left, because it is such tyranny and absolute control over the legal system. And that's what happens with the CIA-DOJ connection when they use the state secrets privilege. They use that to seal the evidence in the torture program. They use that to seal the fact that they destroyed videotapes of the torture program, which is more than waterboarding. They use the state secrets privilege to shut down cases against NSA spying domestically in the United States. So this is a CIA-DOJ operation without question. And of course, I've documented and proven that in many of my presentations.
Okay, first, before we go on to New Orleans and other things, I have to know, you do all that kind of hunting down terrorists abroad. What's the worst place you've ever been?
The CIA. No, in terms of threats. In terms of personal threats, I mean, that would certainly be the answer. I have been in the Middle East amongst Palestinian terrorists. I've been in Eastern Europe. I've been on the border of the Soviet Union. I did a lot of work during the Serbs purge of Bosnia and the genocide there. So several different areas in the Middle East and in Europe and Asia.
Oh, gosh, that's freaking cool. All right, back to New Orleans. Donald Trump came out, said publicly that the CIA has to get involved. That raised a lot of eyebrows, myself included. How and why would the CIA get involved in something like this?
That is an extremely good question and a very concerning issue. A lot of things in the Cybertruck bombing do not add up at all. And when things don't add up, there's usually a nefarious hand behind it. I don't think President-elect Trump understands what the CIA is and what it does. I know that Bobby Kennedy Jr., who's a friend of mine, does, and we'll be communicating that with Donald Trump as we work to reform the CIA. I think that is a big mistake, and it is possible. There are so many peculiarities about the Cybertruck attack. It has some appearances of a PSYOP because things just don't add up. So I would say that that's concerning.
Okay, expand on that Cybertruck attack, because clearly you've seen several things that don't seem like they're adding up. Not asking you to have an opinion or point a finger, but what isn't adding up to you?
Well, you've got a top secret SCI cleared, extremely talented soldier working at the highest levels in special operations, a normal individual. A Trump supporter, it doesn't add up in terms of the personal profile. Although he did suffer a little bit of PTSD from some of his assignments, but that's not uncommon. So for a Trump supporter to blow himself up with that kind of background and spotless record by all accounts, including the people that work with him, to blow up of all things a cyber Trump right in front of the Trump hotel when he's a Trump supporter, it's like the passport they found on the street after the 9/11 attacks. That wasn't burned up when the buildings came down of allegedly one of the terrorists. When things don't add up, something is not right.
Okay. All right. Now, you've witnessed multiple CIA directors over the year. I remember I watched some show, I think it was on Showtime, about all the CIA directors, and I watched all those crooks go through and talk about all the terrorism they fought. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, the CIA will make the point, as they try to do with me, is, well, if you want to restructure the CIA, you're putting the America at risk for terrorist attacks if you reform or restructure the CIA. Well, let's step back for a minute and look at what the CIA actually has done. The CIA created al-Qaeda, trained them how to blow things up, surveil and attack, trained Osama bin Laden, created al-Qaeda. The CIA created ISIS, and the CIA created the Free Syrian Army, which just toppled the Syrian government. All ruthless, bloody terrorist organizations that the CIA uses to accomplish its ultimate goal of the expansion of its power.
Okay, the expansion of its power. I was going to ask, to what end? They're constantly, their fingerprints seem to be all over everything. Training, arming people, we end up having to go overseas and fight. So that's what it's all about, is power?
Yeah, it's all about global power for the CIA. And as Mike Pompeo, and sadly they stained his career when he was director of the CIA, he's the one that commanded the assassination of Julian Assange. And it pretty much ended his political career. But even Pompeo Jr., that he regretted not doing the reforms he wanted in the CIA. And he said, that what he found was 20%, the upper 20% of the agency, which what I've been saying all along, does not believe in democracy, and they do not believe in the U.S. Constitution. They believe in the global expansion of the CIA and American foreign policy power.
Well, that was all pretty much horrific. All right, real quick, what do you think about Ratcliffe, John Ratcliffe, coming in and take over the CIA? Are you hopeful, skeptical? Where are you at on him?
I'm both hopeful and skeptical. I think Ratcliffe is an excellent choice. He was the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, I think, for 6 months. He was a very good conservative congressman, I think, for about 5 years. And he was the only one that stood up in defense as an intelligence official, stood up in defense of President Trump during the Russia collusion hoax and said, that is not intelligence. They're lying. This is bogus. He was the only one that did that. Those are great credentials. But as former CIA director James Woolsey said when he came out after being CIA director, he said that inside the CIA, they didn't tell him anything. All of these operations that the CIA does behind Congress's back, they don't even tell the director of the CIA many times. And at that level, they don't even know what the director of operations or the National Clandestine Center is doing.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's horrific. Kevin, thank you, my friend, as always. All right. We'll be back.
What we do is we have, if something is reported to us as potentially misinformation, important misinformation, we also have this third-party fact-checking program because we don't want to be deciding what's true and false. And for the, I think it was 5 or 7 days when it was basically being being determined whether it was false, the distribution on Facebook was decreased, but people were still allowed to share it. So you could still share it, you could still consume it.
So when you say the distribution is decreased,
it got shared.
How does that work?
It basically, the ranking in newsfeed was a little bit less. So fewer people saw it than would have otherwise. So it definitely...
By what percentage?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's meaningful.
Okay. Now, you already know that story, the FBI reaching out to Facebook to censor a damaging story that would have hurt Joe Biden's election chances. What astounds me is that story didn't last, isn't as lasting in the minds of the American people. The Federal Bureau of Investigation reached out to a social media company and told them to censor a story they knew to be true so Joe Biden could win an election. Do you understand what that means? Joining me now, Senator, one of the great ones, we don't have many, from the state of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, one of my favorite things about you is this is the kind of stuff that you've been all over for the longest time, not letting this stuff go, demanding answers. The federal law enforcement arm getting involved in elections for either party is the only thing that matters if you look at what the history of secret state police agencies is.
Well, the most egregious act of censorship and election interference was really what Anthony Blinken led as a member of Biden's campaign, contacting ex-CIA Deputy Director Mike Morrell, asking him to clean up the Hunter Biden laptop story. That's what generated the letter signed by 51 former intelligence officials, vetted within hours by the CIA and allowed to go public. I mean, that actually impacted the election. I can't think of a more egregious example, a more blatant example of election interference. And, you know, those people still have their security clearances, which should be revoked on day one of President Trump's new term. And, you know, I've got a beef with Anthony Blinken because when we interview him about Hunter Biden, he blatantly lied to our committee. So he's lied before Congress as well. The current Secretary of State lied to Congress and engineered, prompted the most egregious act of election interference probably in our history.
Senator, what frustrates people is you just brought up the Secretary of State lying before Congress, committing these gross acts. No one ever seems to be held to account for these things. And it seems that we have a system in place that no matter how much you want, I mean, you're a United States Senator and you want people held to account, and it doesn't seem to be able to get done. What's wrong with our system that people in government are allowed to abuse these positions of power, abuse their positions of power, and nothing ever happens to them? Nothing.
Well, from my standpoint, I can't prosecute anybody. All I can do is try and investigate and uncover the truth, then refer to the Justice Department. Part of the time I was a chairman of Homeland Security, it was President Obama in office, and his Department of Justice wasn't going to prosecute. For example, he wouldn't prosecute himself, Eric Holder. So it depends on who's actually Department of Justice. You know, I did the investigation of Hillary Clinton's email scandal. We're the ones that uncovered the editing of James Comey's exoneration memo. Yeah, we changed gross negligence to extremely careless. So that wasn't didn't use criminal terminology. But when President Trump, and I don't disagree with this decision either, when President Trump got elected, he said, okay, well, Hillary Clinton, she paid a price. We're not a third world country. We're not going to prosecute our political opponents. Of course, that's exactly what Democrats do. So listen, I understand the double standard. I understand how frustrating it is for people. From my standpoint, all I can do is expose the truth. And I think I've been reasonably diligent, reasonably dogged in trying to pursue the truth.
No, you have been. So that brings me back to the DOJ, which is actually the main subject of all of this. Because that answer is always the same. I refer it to the DOJ, they do nothing. I refer it to the DOJ, they do nothing. So if we have a DOJ who only hunts down pro-lifers and doesn't actually clean out the corruption in the government, how do we fix that?
Again, we have a dual system of justice. So the Department of Justice did prosecute people for obstructing Congress, but it was a Democrat Department of Justice, and they were happy to prosecute Republicans. We haven't had that same opportunity, I guess, with the Republican Department of Justice or Attorney General. So we'll see what happens this time around. Again, to me, if it's clear violations of federal law, we will refer people who've committed criminal acts to Department of Justice for prosecution. And that's really kind of the what I've talked to these nominees about.
Speaking of the nominees, how hopeful are we that they're all going to get through? I know everyone wants them all to get through. I want them all to get through, but I understand the world in which we live. How is that looking?
Well, first of all, I think most Republican senators take the same viewpoint I do, is elections matter. We respect the convincing victory of Donald Trump, and it's up to Donald Trump to determine who he wants serving with him in his administration. We're not the ones that are going to pick the personnel. He does. You know, our job is to give him those people he wants to work with. And so I think that's the primary attitude, barring some egregious issue in the background checks. I'm anticipating they're all going to get confirmed.
What are we expecting from Pam Bondi? Pam Bondi, I know people are not that familiar with her. I am, but people don't know what she is. Is this the type of lady who is going to focus inward? Because that's most definitely what we need right now. We need someone to clean out the government.
Well, they really have, you know, twofold task. They need to restore integrity to their departments. That's what Cash has to do. That's what she has to do as well. The way you do that is you do have to look and root out the partisan, the deep state actors. So that's going to be a big job. But also, she needs to equally administer justice. I don't want this flipping back and forth where now we're going to go out and we're going to be doing everything we can to prosecute political opponents. You know, we need to prosecute criminals, sentence them equally, prosecute them equally, indict them equally. That's what the American people expect. Now, I realize Democrats don't do that, and it's frustrating for our supporters. And we just play by the rules. You know, we want a single system of justice for people. And from my standpoint, that's what I expect of Pam Bondi. I don't expect partisanship there. But if we refer somebody, you know, based on what we see, a criminal referral, I expect her to fully investigate it and, again, use her prosecutorial discretion.
What about the FBI? One thing that concerns me every time I talk to somebody who worked at the FBI is they say, look, the director of the FBI matters. He matters a lot, but so much of the garbage happens underneath the director, and the director doesn't even know about it. What can Cash Patel do if he takes over as head of the FBI? Because if you have a secret state police agency, you don't have a free country.
Well, again, we need to appoint as many loyal deputies who are willing, that are real fighters, that are going to go out and root out the deep state actors. That's what we need to do. You know, but we also do need to re-decentralize the FBI. We need to send agents and prosecutors back out into the branches where the prosecutorial decisions aren't made with political considerations. I mean, that's what Biden has done. They've brought these people into Washington, D.C. under people like James Comey, and that's where we've seen all the corruption, you know, under Merrick Garland. So, again, the American people expect justice. They expect an FBI that's primarily tasked with keeping us safe, investigating crimes, getting criminals off the street. That should be done on a completely nonpartisan basis.
Senator, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
We'll be back. Things have to change radically at the DOJ. Not in small ways, in large ways. Is Pam Bondi up to the task? I don't know. But we can't have, well, just a slightly different kind of way of doing things at the DOJ that's not going to work anymore. We need radical change. We must have a Department of Justice that views its main goal as cleaning out the government. No longer aiming its guns at the American people. That has to be put on pause, and it must look inward and clean the criminals out of this government. We have to set aside these childish notions. Well, we can't do a tit for tat. This stuff has to stop and stop now until government people are made an example of. Trials, prison time. We cannot fix this country. We cannot fix the government because there's never been punishment. And without that punishment, where does that leave us? We will see if Pam Bondi is up to the task, all right? I'll see you.
This is an iHeart podcast.